Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports for your chance to see local legend Hasan Minhaj at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento, March 29th. All you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. for your chance to win tickets. 916-339-1140 for your chance to see Hasan Minhaj. That is coming up at 1 p.m. I think I'll pick the number. I'll pick the number too.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. As we continue the conversation on all things Kings, and we will continue to update you on movement. You got to be careful these days. And look, I know everybody wants to be first, but with some of these random accounts, we're doing our best here, but we do not want to report on anything that has not been confirmed. You have random accounts. Then you have people that aren't actual humans.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're all just trying to make sure we do not report on anything that is not true.
Shout out Adam Scheffler.
Yes. You know? Yes. Adam Scheffler. And
like Adam Scheffler.
With an O. With an O as well. As we continue the conversation, it looks like I'm seeing here real quick. Niners, this was 5 minutes ago. Niners making huge moves.
Are you going to get duped by after you just said not to get duped?
Well, did you guys see the Vikings move?
Chris? I sure did. Yeah. You better believe it. I
you
just
excited?
Didn't think
Jonathan,
would care.
Is it Grenard or it's Grenard, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I believe the Vikings are probably going to move on from Danielle Hunter. That kind of tells me this. And I know the Niners actually have kicked tires on Danielle Hunter. So. You know, it's fine. He's a younger pass rusher at this point than Daniil was. And, the Vikings desperately need some defensive help, but,
Eric Armstead.
Yeah. They could definitely use it. It would be interesting, but, it's a fine move. I'm not the biggest fan of the Vikings defense. So I don't think the pass rushing is necessarily what they needed, but it's fine.
Here you go. This is from in the same division. The Rams have agreed to terms with guard Jonah Jackson. This is from Mike Garofalo. Jonah Jackson on a 3-year, $51 million deal with $34 million in guaranteed money. A big payday for Jackson, who will join the recently re-signed Kevin Dotson as LA pours big money into the middle of their offensive line, which is one thing I know that Niner fans are hoping happens with their offensive line as well. So we will keep you all in the loop throughout really the week and beyond as we break down all things NFL free agency. Getting to the Sacramento Kings and what happened last night, Chris, we are on, what is this, the third straight game of the Boo Birds showing up to the Bulls, the Spurs.
It might be the third, yeah. Second, definitely to memory, but it would make sense for them to get booed in the Chicago. I'm sure somebody booed. I hope somebody booed during the Chicago game. So, yeah, we'll say three straight games.
Okay, and I know you want to give your take. I was out and about, but
yes.
You wanted to give your take on the boos. And I don't know if it came up again yesterday. I know Malik Monk had said, what was it, a game or two ago to stop. And he's really the only person I've ever heard talk about it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've heard Domas talk about the
Sabonis
booing,
talked about it on the same day as well.
Okay.
Where he pretty much said the same thing.
There you go. And I believe I saw some of that. 916-339-1140. If you want to be a part of this booing conversation, whether it's okay or not okay, that is the text line as well. Andy Sack Chat. Chris Watkins, you have the floor.
Yeah, it actually re-sparked because I saw your video on it. I think you posted it on Friday, but I didn't see it until Saturday. But yeah, I mean, it's just really interesting to me. I heard Frankie talking about it this morning as well, and I think he put it pretty beautifully, him being a Yankees fan. He was like, look, I've seen Derek Jeter get booed, and I don't think Yankee fans were booing Derek Jeter because they hate Derek Jeter. I think it's because, and you said it in your video as well, and I'd love to get you, you're not on record yet as with your thoughts. So I completely agree that it really, the booing speaks to, we had a level of expectation for what you should be, and you are not coming anywhere near meeting that expectation. And this is me voicing my displeasure for doing it. Now, there's tons of different ways in which fans can do it. I don't think Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis would like the other way of fans voicing their displeasure by not showing up.
Right.
So if it's either option A, you get booed because you're not playing up to the standard that we all know you're capable of, or B, and it could happen, probably not here soon, but if this happens next season at this point too, I could see fans start to show their displeasure by saying, look, especially if the Kings run it back next year as well, which doesn't seem like a probability, but if you give the fans a reason to not show up, I do think there is a line that fans will just be like, look, you guys play better on the road. Every single home game I go to, I try and pick out the Spurs. I try and pick out the Bulls. Teams that I feel like, I don't go to many. This is general fan talking.
Yeah.
I go to a game where I feel like I want to see my team win. Mm-hmm. And so I go to these Charlotte games. I go to these Portland games. I go to these Chicago games. We can go down the list. We can go to Detroit. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. I pick those games because I want to see my team look like some all-stars. And every time I go to those games, we look like we're the team back in the dumps trying to, you know, play the team that's significantly better than us and scrap and claw our way to a victory. That's not what people want to see. And so I think that's certain fans' way of voicing their distaste, their displeasure, whatever you want to say. I don't have an issue with it. I don't know if I would do it. I would have to put myself in that situation. I don't think I would be against doing it, but I think it's up to each is their own, and I definitely don't have a like. Again, I said it the other day on when they played San Antonio, when the fans booed and Malik didn't like it and Demonis didn't like it. Going into that timeout, I said this is probably a good time to boo. Like it felt, you can feel it if you've been in a crowd where there's been boos before. You can feel the time in which it feels appropriate to do it, and it felt more than appropriate in that moment. So I didn't have an issue with it.
Yeah, and I think one of the main things you said there is obviously the expectations and why you're booing. And the other part of that is we could just not go.
That's what I'm saying.
We could just not show up, right? So
but I don't think you'd like that.
You wouldn't like that because you would say, hey, us fans, or we need the fans to show up for us.
Yeah.
They are showing up for you.
It was Sunday at 3 o'clock.
They are
People
showing up for you.
Got other stuff to do, man.
Yeah, they're showing up for you, and you're not getting it done. So I don't want to hear any complaints about it. Obviously, if there is, you know, if it's just booing, I have no problem with that. There's always a line that could be crossed, but I'm not talking about those lines. I'm just talking about, you know, if the product isn't good enough, and we've talked about it on this show, price is going up. Mm-hmm. Price is going up. So you have to feel like you are spending your hard-earned money. And no, and it's not about losing. It's about the fact that you're losing to teams that you are better than and how you're losing.
Right.
The same way over and over again.
Yep.
So if you don't like it, play better. Let's hear from Corey, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Corey? What you got for us?
Hey, I just started listening to your guys' show more. Just you guys do a great job just to start out. But
thank you.
Oh, thanks, man.
I've been a Kings fan for my entire life. And there's been some real negative energy coming out this year. I don't know if people had overly high expectations for us, but I'm just grateful that this feels like we're going to be in the playoffs for the second year in a row. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was rooting for John Salmons and Jason
Which time?
So back in like 08, 09, when I was just growing up. I mean, I'm 23 years old. I've been a Kings fan my entire life.
Right.
So loving John Salmons, Jason Salmons. Now we got De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk running around, and I think we should just be grateful. They're going to have an off night or two, but we're making the playoffs. Look, we're ahead. We're behind, but we're in play with the Phoenix Suns, who have Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. I know they've missed some time, but we're right there with those guys. So the West is going to get worse. We're going to get better, and yeah.
No, thanks for the call, Corey.
Appreciate it, Corey.
It is always good to put things back in perspective.
Absolutely, and that's a great perspective to have.
Yeah, and you don't have to boo, or you don't have to feel like this team isn't playing up to your standards. Everybody can fan how they want to fan.
Yeah.
If I hear it, I guess for me, it's more about the players saying to stop.
Right.
That's what it is for me. If a fan wants to tell another fan, hey, maybe not do that or whatever. Fans can go back and forth.
Right.
But to me, I'm only speaking about the player.
The players then trying to police the fans.
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, I'm sure it doesn't feel good.
Right.
But they were not booing throughout. There wasn't booing going on all season. And you've kind of been up and down all season, right? It's a tough Western Conference. I'm on record saying it might be one of the toughest Western Conferences in the history of the league if you look at the star power. So we understand all that. I'm more so just talking about how Malik Monk and some of the players have reacted to it. But, you know, you can keep things in perspective and say, hey, we're playing this is the conversation we had. And we have sound from Coach Mike Brown, who talks about the difference between the Kings, right, and the Nuggets, and how maybe it's due to the 3 seed. Maybe that 3 seed has just changed everybody's perspective and expectations and accelerated everything. This is still only year two of a process, and that's what Mike Brown kind of gets into, because it is true. It is true. Yeah. Now, you want to see a vision, and I think the vision is you got De'Aaron Fox, you hope Keegan Murray takes another step, you got Sabonis, and we got to figure out the other pieces.
Yep.
That's what this is.
Yeah.
Your core and Malik Monk. I would
I mean, put Malik Monk. You can't put that in Sharpie yet, though, because he's a free agent this offseason.
Yeah, somebody could bag him out.
Said, yeah, absolutely. And the plan is for Malik to be there, but I think you hit the nail on the head there too, where it comes to they're booing because of the level of competition that they're playing too. It's not like they're booing when the Kings play the Celtics or anything like that, unless they're getting killed by
40
but
or something.
They're
like that.
Booing in these close games, even though the Kings have a winning record, because they're playing against the San Antonio Spurs without Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
They're playing against the Rockets, who the Kings have already gotten destroyed by months ago early in the season, and you would hope the Kings would have a better showing. I think, you know, it's the fact that they're not taking care of the easy stuff. It's not that, you know, they're not meeting the top level of expectation that fans have. It's that they're barely, if not even, reaching the floor of what expectations fans had. And, you know, again, maybe like Corey said, maybe it is just a perspective issue that people have wrong with, you know, this is only the second year that this team has made the playoffs. And Corey said he's 23 years old. You know what that, I mean, Corey's just a little bit younger than I am. Corey's never seen this team be successful, period, until last season. So I totally understand, and I think that perspective is definitely needed. But at the same time, man, like, you guys are better than this. And, like, I think maybe the 3 seed did really throw things off, because let's say the Kings were, I don't know, a 6 seed last year instead of a 3 seed.
Yeah.
How upset are we right now? Because they would be around where they were the season previous.
Right.
You could just say, oh, yeah, you run it back and you get about the same result. Like, what do you really expect? So it's definitely interesting, but I would not expect the boos to stop anytime soon if they're going to continue to play this inconsistent.
And you could sit there and say, well, if the boos do stop, that's not a great thing either, because that means that expectations have changed for the worse.
That's right. Look, people are just accepting it then.
I don't know how often fans boo either a team that they don't think is playing up to their expectations, or they boo the front office.
Yeah.
So if you're in Charlotte, if you're in Detroit, I would guarantee that the Kings have been booed more than the Hornets and the Pistons, because there are no expectations out there.
Right.
The Blazers ain't getting booed.
Exactly.
The Spurs ain't getting booed, because they're supposed to stink, okay? The Kings had expectations. Maybe too high.
Yeah.
That's also fair. Maybe too high, but that's not the expectation of being too high to be another 3 seed. That is, you are losing to the Spurs without Victor Wembanyama. You are losing to a Houston Rockets team who has no expectations this season. That is why you are getting booed. But again, if you don't want to boo, don't boo. If you want to boo, then boo. And if the Kings have something to say about it, then you can say it on the court. Everybody knows that we're all riding together in this. When we return, a lot of sound from Coach Mike Brown, Saturday's practice, a ton of gems that we want to play for you, and some of them still make sense even after the loss yesterday. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
You will have an opportunity to win tickets to see Hasan Minhaj. Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see local legend at the Safe Credit Union Performing Arts Center from beautiful downtown Sacramento on March 29th. That will be at 1 p.m. All you got to do is call 916-339-1140 on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. From the 916, I finally decided why this year stinks so bad. Last year, we had no idea what the ceiling of that team was, so we literally felt like anything was possible. But this year, I think we all know what the ceiling is, and it's not that high, so it was kind of just taking the shine off of everything. We basically said that. That's why we have fielded calls. We have allowed people to begin to talk about next season, even though we don't want to sell the team short. But we do understand that, you know, unless you're going to pull a Miami Heat and go to the finals from the 8th seed, and the Western Conference is not the same as the Eastern Conference when the Heat did that. But you go into this, we're just to the point now where, yeah, there's a chance that your expectations could still be exceeded, but it's just not likely.
It's not likely, and I think that's where I'm at. But I do still want to, like, hold out hope just a little bit that this team can still make some noise. I just want to say things can fall the right way still, and I'm not discounting the fact that the Kings can get a favorable matchup in the first round, and who knows? I mean, if Denver ends up as the one seed, OKC and Minnesota are the 2-3, Kings get matched up in a 3-6 with one of those two teams, and then in the second round have to play the winner of the 2-7 if that's OKC in the second round. I'm just saying, you know, playoffs are funny because it's all based on matchups. And, you know, if the Kings get luck of the draw and get a 3-6 Minnesota-Sacramento, who knows, maybe, or whatever, OKC-Sacramento, I like that chances a whole lot better. Kings make it out of that first round. They play Minnesota in the second round or OKC. I'm just saying, crazier things have happened. It's not completely out of the question, but obviously it's not feeling like they're trending in that direction right now. But it's not out of the question that this team, who in Sam Amick's article on Friday did mention the Kings have the best record against the top four seeds of any of the 5 through 10 teams right now in the Western Conference. So they've shown the ability to beat the good teams. And De'Aaron said it yesterday, funny enough, in his press conference, you only play good teams in the playoffs. And so that's, in a weird way, is a positive for this team that they do tend to show up against good opponents.
But you got to beat the bad teams to make sure you get in the playoffs, De'Aaron.
Not necessarily. I mean, at this point, like, you can make the 10 seed and win the play-in and still end up in the playoffs.
It's tough sledding.
It's tough, but it's still, again, if you believe that everybody is so close that in reality the difference between 1 and 8 isn't as drastic as what it's been in the past, and you believe that we still have a shot, like, I'm just saying there's a small, I wouldn't even say, there's a sliver of hope. There's a sliver of hope that I still think that this team in one or two of 100 universes could maybe make it to the second or third round.
Yeah. Things are going to have to fall your way anyway.
That's right.
In any playoff run. So we know the teams that we do not want the Kings to see.
That's right.
And we believe we do. Yes.
No Clippers, no Denver.
No Clippers, no Denver. And if you got far enough, it would be no Pelicans.
That's right. The Pelicans are playing well.
Don't they still have the Pelicans again?
Yes, they do. Yeah. It's still looming.
Isn't that in April?
I think so. Yeah. I think it's like one of the last 5 games of the season.
Why?
Because they hate us, man. The league hates
Why?
Us. It's just ridiculous. It is like a really... It's like when you know you have a really tough test coming at the end of the year and you just know, like, it's just looming back there. It's not great. It's really not great. I'm not looking forward to it. Because even if they... Because here's the thing that would honestly probably upset me even more, if they just kill the Pelicans. Just run them over. And it's like... Cool. We're 4-1 against the Pelicans now.
1-4.
And yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. 1-4.
Yes.
That's a very big difference. 1-4 against the Pelicans. And yeah, I guess apparently we could have just killed them this entire time. But
yeah, but end of the season.
It's not going to hold the same
weight.
It's definitely not going to hold the same weight.
Well, the Kings got bigger fish to fry as they have a back-to-back against the Bucks and the Lakers coming up this week. Let's hear from Coach Mike Brown. This was on Saturday. A lot of good gems from that Saturday practice where he opened up a little bit in response to really us, the media fans, saying that the Kings don't have good enough defenders to play that good defense.
You know, I hear people tell me, hey, well, you don't have defensive players. What does that mean? If your kid is not good in math, but he's good in science, are you going to say, and I'm not saying these guys are my kids now,
right,
because they're not, but I'm just using an example. If your kid's not good in math, but they're good in science, you're going to say, hey, don't worry about the math. Just concentrate on being the best in science. No, you're going to push whoever you can to be the best in whatever they have in front of them. And so for us, that's all it's about. It's about trying to maximize our potential as best we can.
That's interesting, too. And I want to know what you think about this. Something Brendan was talking a lot yesterday. You look at Houston's lineup, especially their starting lineup, Dylan Brooks, Jabari Smith Jr., Alperen Şengün, Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet. Does that sound like a good defense to you? Like, just on paper? Like, do they have the I wouldn't think so.
No, you have Brooks, but...
Dylan Brooks, Jabari's long, but right. They, you know, every problem that everyone always says with Sabonis definitely applies to Alperen Şengün when it comes to athleticism and lack of challenging at the rim. Jalen Green is terrible. He's really athletic, but he has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet's 6'1", so he's not a good defender.
He's a veteran.
And I think that's what Mike Brown's saying is, like, if a team like Denver, for example, or a team like Houston could be a top 10 defense in this league, I can't just give up on our guys. Like, because the Kings don't have, you know, their individual defenders probably are on par individually with each of the Houston Rockets. And so Mike Brown's got to believe it's why I think he's the right guy for this job. He has the right perspective of, I can't just accept that we're going to be bad on defense, because I see teams that I don't think are good at defense or individually should be good at defense come together and create some sort of defensive identity. And again, whether it's maybe the problem here is the Kings need to learn, and maybe they've learned it through the teams that have killed them, the Miami, the Chicago last night, that they're maybe playing the wrong defensive system, because right now they aren't defending the three and they aren't defending the rim. At the very least, we've seen that maybe condensing the paint can at least stop the rim pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Kings are already the worst at giving up threes. I can't imagine they're going to continue to – I'm not going to imagine that thing's going to continue to escalate any higher than it already is. So maybe it's just figuring out how to play the right style of defense for this team, but they're not just going to give up. And I appreciate Mike Brown saying that, but at the same time, I still think I'm going to say – I don't think you have the weapons to play defense.
There is something glaring in the Kings starting lineup, which is why I don't think that they'll be able to get there. So it's not that I'm disagreeing with Coach. It's just I think that there is just a level that you're not going to be able to get to. And I think it's pretty simple when you think about it. It's the same issue that they deal with in a way, in offense as well. We'll discuss when we return. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports.
Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
Wow, wow, wow. We have some news for you. But first, Hasan Minhaj, your chance to see him live March 29th. All you got to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m. Now, let's get into it. Where to start? All right, I'm going to start with the smaller things and just continue to get bigger and bigger here. So let's start here.
Goes to the top.
Keeping it with the Kings. I don't know if he interests you, but Otto Porter Jr. was waived.
I mean, like, there's the Otto Porter from 2022 Warriors season, right?
Warriors fans still want him back.
They still want him back, and he was great for that team. Maybe, you know, you got the Mike Brown familiarity. There's a possibility. He is a big body. He's like 6'9", but the problem is Otto Porter hasn't been – he wasn't that Otto Porter that he was that season in the seasons leading into that, and he has not been that Otto Porter in the season since that.
Yes.
So it's a scary proposition. Maybe you can get – I guess any level of production out of him is better than what you're kind of getting now, and maybe with Sasha – I don't know if we're going to get a Sasha update here soon, but if it seems like – maybe Sasha isn't going to be healthy the rest of this season. Maybe you do dip your toe into an Otto Porter Jr.
Next up, J.D. Davis has been released. I don't know if it necessarily got ugly, but there was a lot of back and forth, and there was arbitration, and the Giants lost. And then they go on to sign Matt Chapman. And Matt Chapman said, I think it can work out. I really like J.D. Davis. I think he's got some shady pop. And somebody will pick him up. But thank you for your service, J.D. Davis. He has been released from the Giants. Continuing to get a little bigger here. Josh Jacobs to the Packers. Sorry, Raider Nation. And maybe you're going to draft another running back. But that was another situation where, hey, you want to pay me? You not want to pay me? You franchise tag me? Things like that. So Josh Jacobs headed to your division, Chris.
No thanks. No thanks at all.
And as someone enters Chris's division, that's someone right. leaves.
Somebody.
It is being reported.
No, it's being confirmed.
It is being confirmed that Kirk Cousins is headed to Hotlanta.
That's right. The era is over.
The era is over. Four-year deal after the Achilles at what, 34, 35 years old?
Yep, that is correct. Everything so, you said there is correct.
Atlanta Falcons.
He's 35.
Thought you were
turning 36 in August.
Thought you were getting Justin Fields. You are getting Kirk Cousins.
He's coming home, right?
Justin Fields. Is the NFC South, is that just where all these guys just go? So you got you got Derek Carr down there.
That's right. That's
Kirk
right.
Cousins down there.
That's right. They just had Mac Jones.
Baker's down there.
Baker's deal, I think 100 mil.
Oh, that was insane.
50 mil guaranteed.
Yeah, insane. That was insane.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the market, right? Like, he's probably going to make that. Anyway, he got him a playoff. Like, I know it's the worst division in football.
Man, you know who had a great weekend? Brock Purdy. Got married and saw this
Brock
contract.
Is,
he said, so at the very least, I'm making that.
Right, at the very least.
I'm making 30 million.
Oh, yeah. At the very least 40.
Well, I mean, he's going to take a discount. It's just a matter of how I'm just, you know, like the.
We don't know where the
discount
is.
Yeah,
it's going to end up.
I mean, we were talking about this last week, too, that conspiracy, the salary cap going up and all that stuff. It's going to, you know, they can't talk with Brock about contract. Legally, they can't talk with Brock about the contract this year at all.
That's
so
right, legally.
We'll see. I have no, all speculation here, but how do you not talk about that
you
at all in behind closed doors meetings? Like, Brock, when we get there, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, but
I'm sure they just walk you through the halls and call him broke boy.
Right.
Like, nah.
I think what they can do is everybody understands where they're at. So they know the ballpark. Mm-hmm. I think they know the ballpark.
Yeah,
it's just
sure.
a matter of how close to the ballpark are you going to be. And by the way, speaking of quarterbacks looking their next hoorah, I saw it said Russell Wilson, Steelers country, let's weld. It's time to weld.
So bad. It's gonna be interesting. It's like an immovable object against an unstoppable force with Mike Tomlin having the record of never being under 500, and then Russell Wilson walking in the building. It just something's got to give there, and you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Russ actually does kind of lead them to like a 9-8.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
9-8 for the moment.
Real quick, just recapping Russell Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
How good did you think he was going to be with the Broncos? Because I thought he was going there immediately. We're going to be like top three, top five Super Bowl favorites. That's what they're missing. They got their guy. I know he had that rough last season in Seattle, but he's clearly had issues with them. I thought they were going in there and they were going to dominate.
The whole deal was confusing to me because the Broncos kept saying all they needed was a quarterback, right? That's what they kept saying.
Yep.
I believed it.
Then they traded pieces to get Russell Wilson that made them need more than a quarterback. That's what never made sense to me. And I still thought that they would be decent. I still thought that they would make some noise. But, yeah, it just was bad. And now they're paying, what is it, 80 mil or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's 80 mil over the next 2 years, something like that. It's insane.
So there you go. Russell Wilson is now in Pittsburgh, and Kirk Cousins, 4-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, and I think this pretty much guarantees for the Viking side of it that they're going to go for a quarterback in the draft. I don't know. You know, with the Patriots trading Mac Jones, it seems like they're probably going to stick at 3. So maybe the Vikings now are in the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes.
Trey Lance.
Which doesn't get me too excited. Stop it. And, you know, for the Falcons, how much do we think this improves the Falcons? Like, I mean, I think Kirk is a fantastic quarterback. Like, I think he gets a really bad rap across the league. But at the same time, this is a roster that you can maybe – we were just talking about the Broncos. This is a team where you could argue is just in need of a quarterback. I mean, they have Drake London. They have Bijan Robinson. They have – Kyle Pitts, who's been in the freaking garage ever since he got drafted. Like, right. This team has some talent. Are the Falcons now the clear favorites to win that division? I mean, that division was terrible last year.
You would think so, but at the same time, Tampa feels really good about Baker. That's why they paid him that money. I really don't know what the Saints are trying to do. You still got Jameis for some odd reason. Yep. You restructured Derek Carr. I don't know what they are attempting. So, yeah, I think it's anybody's game. I think it will be the Falcons. And the Falcons, they were almost picked to win it this past season because of just the lack of competition in that division. And they couldn't get it done that time. So, I don't know. I feel good about it. Then you have the Panthers who are just dumpster diving as well. So, I think the Falcons will be the favorites, but it's going to come down to the Falcons and the Bucks.
Yeah. I'm also looking here. I was looking up Otto Porter Jr. He apparently cannot sign. Players waived after March 1st are not eligible for playoff rosters. So Otto Porter is not playoff eligible following his release from the Jazz.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the incentive of that rule is. Like, what is, like, because it's not necessarily, like, it makes me instantly my mind go to, like, fantasy football where the guy who's in last is just going to drop all of his players. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that that's like a problem in real life. So I don't know why that rule would be in place, but apparently it very much is in place. And Otto Porter is not eligible to play on a playoff roster. So maybe the Kings can use him for the remainder of the regular season, I think, but just come playoff time, he would not be able to suit up, which is strange. Very strange. Hmm. Don't know what that's about.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter if you're in on Otto Porter Jr. or not.
Also ties to the Niners here as I'm just jumping back and forth. David Lombardi puts out here, where do the Vikings go at QB next? Does Sam Darnold get a shot to compete there? Diana Rossini is also putting out there that Sam Darnold could be a target for the Vikings here.
Just bring them back together, Sam and Trey. Just have them duke it out again.
Oh, my gosh. I hate you guys.
I mean, it
so
makes sense to
much.
Me.
I hate y'all. It's crazy.
It makes sense to me, doesn't it, Nate?
Honestly,
it's my favorite team.
It's making a lot of sense
Thank
to
you.
Me. Yeah. It's just, why not? Let's get some drama going, huh? That's what we need in Minnesota.
If the Vikings quarterback room going into next year is Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, and J.J. McCarthy.
That's fire.
Raw.
I am not talking Vikings the entire season.
It's just all first round bust quarterbacks.
Yeah. Just all hanging out. Just all hanging
Minnesota's
out.
Minnesota's the perfect place for them.
I'm sure we can
battle
find one
of
more.
The mid.
Yeah.
Who's sure coming out of that? Who's coming out of starter week
not
one?
Not me. Trey. Not me, that's for sure.
Trey is?
I think probably
it can't
Trey,
be the
actually.
Rookie, right?
It can't be the rookie. You can't just give him that, especially not J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, Trey, because Justin Jefferson is going to want Trey just hucking it up to him, right?
Right, but Sam Darnold, the human jugs machine, like, you know.
Best thrower Matt Maiocco's ever seen.
Ever.
That's right.
Ever.
That's right, that's it's right.
Tough. And on the Niners front, too, Brandon Allen, we saw signed this morning.
Allen is coming back, so that is another reason to think that Sam Darnold will be moving on. Yeah. This is some news, Chris, more in the fair or foul category. This is from Andrew Baggerly going back to the J.D. Davis situation.
Yeah.
The Giants would have owed Davis 45 days of prorated salary if they released him within 15 days of opening day. We're 17 days out, so termination pay is 30 days or a little over $1.1 million. He had won a salary of $6.9 million. Ouch. That was also in it.
And J.D. Davis just got cut here.
Just
correct?
Got cut.
He just
so
got
basically,
cut like 30 minutes ago.
Basically, he gets $1.1 million instead of $6.9.
So they went
because
through the arbitration
days,
and everything.
Days. Yeah.
He got his side of arbitration won, and he's still not going to get paid out that.
That's how
saying.
I'm understanding it. That's bad.
Can you explain baseball to me? So I think I literally asked you last week, can you like kind of explain arbitration to me?
Yeah.
And I'm now more confused than I've ever been.
Yeah, the bottom line is this is not a good look for agents, right? So when you see this happen, it's more about agents not enjoying what the Giants are doing and saying, hey, I don't want, it's bad. It's not, it's, It's fair, technically, but it is a bit of bad business.
And this
for
is
the
all happening because they signed Chapman, correct?
I would say so.
Because, okay, gotcha. And yeah, I mean.
And that's why it goes back to the timeline of signing these people, because right. Now JD Davis is out here in these streets
right.
Thinking, hey.
Might not get a job.
Yeah,
for
where
a
am I
months?
Headed? Where am yeah. I headed? The season is lit again.
Just spent his entire spring training with yeah. one team, right?
15 days away. Mm. When we return, we continue the conversation. We get into some. Niners and their deal, Sacramento native Eric Armstead will be released and will become a free agent. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text. 916-339-1140.
This is from Adam Schefter. Saquon Barkley signing a 3-year, $37.75 million contract with the Eagles. Hmm. Wow, wow, wow. So DeAndre Swift goes to the Bears earlier today, and now all of a sudden you're wondering, okay, what are the Eagles doing here? Well, this is what they had cooking.
Poor Giants fans, man. That's all I gotta say. Giants fans go from, you know, having they took this dude what, second, third in the draft, and then you know, kind of upset him with franchise tagging him last year, and now he just goes, hops on over to the division rival. That's tough. That is tough, tough stuff. And Saquon, he's going to make that Eagles team really, really interesting. If they feed him right, which they should, him and Jalen Hurts, it's a pretty good running combo right there.
It is.
That's a lot of beef right there. That's a lot of thigh muscle.
Yes. That is. Together, they can squat probably two elephants.
They could probably, like, feed a village with their legs, just their lower body.
I'm wondering if they'll still go with some. I know Saquon can catch. He can be a pass catcher as well. But I'm wondering if he's more of that thunder. Are you still looking for a little bit of that lightning somewhere else? And yeah, look, as far as the Niners are concerned, this is
the Eagles.
Yeah, as far as the Niners are concerned, this is a team who there are a lot of jokes to be had about the Eagles and how they ended their season. They're trying to figure some things out, and you know, now you have an elite running back of their own to kind of go up against what the Niners have going with McCaffrey. And, you know, they have some pass catchers of their own with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. So it's not over for the Eagles. And I've been down on the Eagles. And maybe a lot of that is just how things ended for them this season. But this is why you go to a Super Bowl, you just never know.
Yep.
You never know what's going to happen.
Right, because the Eagles get better today, and then the Packers too. Like, with them getting Josh Jacobs, like, that's making that team better.
You could throw the Falcons in there.
Sure, why not? That could be a team that you play in the playoffs. Absolutely. It's the league's not going to stop, and, you know, this is why, you know, Debo, I think, talked about it the other day on Up and Adams. He was like, you know, it was a long time from the first appearance to this last appearance, and there's no guarantee that we'll be back next year. So, you know, this is why the Niners, they're going to have to make some noise here pretty soon. Again, they were in on Christian Wilkins, didn't get him. I see now that they're pretty high on Danielle Hunter's list as well. Hopefully they can land him, but they're going to have to make their own little splashes here to try and counterbalance everything else going on too.
Yeah, and from what we've seen a couple restructures so far with the Niners, and we've seen some rumors about Nick and Joey Bosa, but nothing too crazy so far besides what broke yesterday with Eric Armstead. Essentially, the story coming out of the Niners camp is that they asked him to take a pay cut, and he said, I do not want to.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, we're going to release you.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah. And, you know, it Eric, you know, I understand why Eric would hold firm. And I think he had to know, like, that was probably going to be a big chance coming this offseason that the Niners were going to approach him to do it. And Again, you just hope that he can kind of find a route here, find a way to find the team. And from the Niners' side, it's not going to be easy to replace his production, especially you mentioned it, I think, earlier. He showed up in so many big games for them. Even his Super Bowl stats here, 6 tackles and a sack. I mentioned earlier he's second in all-time for the Niners franchise for playoff sacks with 8. He's a dude who's made impact, and they're going to have to, you know, I don't know if we're going to see Javon Kinlaw get more touches or something, or, you know, any of their guys that they have internally, but is this like a casualty of them paying everybody else as well? I mean, is this just gonna kind of, we heard that that Kyle Juszczyk has been approached for a restructure as well. Is he just the first of many or a couple different dominoes to fall here?
Yeah, and you knew that this was a possibility, but once it starts happening, you think, oh, okay, this is...
Things move fast.
Yeah, life comes at you fast, and some of these stats, as we know, Eric Armstead, Sacramento's finest. He was the 17th overall pick in 2015. In March 2020, he signed a 5-year, $55 million contract. He had 5 sacks in 12 games last year. He has 33 for his career, including a career high of 10 in 2019. I think people will look back and say, oh, man, if he had just, you know, there are opportunities to maybe hopefully stay a little bit healthier in certain spots. But Eric Armstead has been, you know, from everything that I've heard, the consummate professional. And I think this is just one of those things where it's business.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
That just is what it is. So
we'll see. I mean, you know, I wonder. I haven't looked at the D-tackle market either. I don't know if there's some names. Again, Christian Wilkins was definitely the biggest name, I believe, that was in the D-tackle market, and for them to miss out on him. Maybe we can get somebody on later this week who can maybe point us in the right direction for where the Niners might look. But I saw a tweet the other day that essentially said, I mean, the Niners, their defensive line group, after how much they invested in them last year, is pretty dwindled at the moment. I don't have the list in front of me, but they really don't have the same depth at D-line that they did going at the end of last year. So it'll be interesting to see how they address that, because clearly that was a huge point of emphasis for them to just bring in defensive line talent. And I wonder how much they're putting on Steve Wilks versus, hey, the line actually just didn't produce themselves. So it'll be interesting to see again how much the Niners maybe reinvest into that defensive line, or maybe they look elsewhere to maybe improve cornerback or DB or something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking here, and it's already starting. It is already starting with the Niner fans. I'm just seeing some content creators and media go back and forth because the Niners haven't done anything yet.
Of course, right.
And this is that
the panic starts.
The
to
panic
set in.
Is starting to happen, and you know they. They are not the only ones that haven't been moving, you know. So the Eagles have just been ridiculously active already. You know, they signed Bryce Huff already and Saquon Barkley. And like I said, that is what happens you do underperform. And look, to bring this back to the Kings, I know it's different with free agency out here in Sacramento, but at the same time, if you do underperform, then I would say that it was okay for Monty McNair to not do anything last season. You exceeded expectations. You got the 3 seed.
Sure.
This season, it's time to get to work, right? And that is the one thing. You see the Eagles go out sad the way they went out sad, and they said, we got to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
You see the Packers that went out sad the way that they went out sad and said, all right, we got to make some moves.
We're
the
not
Niners,
run it back.
Right? The Niners feel, depending on who you ask, they feel like they should have won anyway, right? Yep. Okay, so are you? What are the big moves that you're going to make?
Right. Yeah, because
we're 3 hours into it.
You clearly were not good enough. And so, what's going to be that thing that gets you over the hump? I think that it's fair for Niner fans to question it, but at the same time, I mean, they do have, I understand if John Lynch does want to be quiet, because he's like, look, we have plenty of talent. We have more talent still than anybody else. It's just about us taking care of what we can and going out there and winning those games. Like I think the Niners still have more than enough talent to get it done. But of course, yeah, you never want to be satisfied. You never want to stay the same. And it's going to be interesting to see how they go about it. And I am looking here too. Again, hate to jump around, but I'm seeing the details of Kirk Cousins' contract out here. Insane. 4 years, $180 million. $100 million guaranteed. $45 million per year average for Kirk Cousins, who again is 36, going to be 36 in August, and just tore his Achilles.
That's crazy.
It's a big risk. And that's why I'm not here pouting. I'm not sad. I mean, Kirk was great. I would have liked to have him back for next year for the Vikings, but at the same time, that's a lot of money. And that's really just acting as if his injury didn't happen, which, you know, sure, it could maybe end up being a positive for them. We see quarterbacks playing later into their career than ever now, but to pay Kirk Cousins until he's 40 years old coming off of an Achilles at $45 million, that's top dollar rate. You're not getting any discount there. Good luck. Good luck.
Big for the Achilles community.
Huge, Achilles tear community, right? Huge, dude.
Allen, yeah, Allen Stowe. I mean, Allen's next contract.
Dude,
it's going to be huge.
It's going to be big.
Yeah. Yeah.
My question is, do you think for the Falcons to make that deal, do you think, because I don't know where the tampering starts or finishes, if it just went live today, are they just on Kirk's Instagram just seeing, oh, it looks like he's back, right? I mean, how do you know that he's back?
Don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I guess you like have scouts go look at workouts or maybe you can ask. I don't know what the rules are for, yeah, what kind of medical information you're allowed to disclose, who you're allowed to get that information from. I'm not sure, but I would hope that the Falcons have some sort of reassurances that Kirk's feeling good besides a picture of his scar on Instagram and him, you know, doing some drill work or something.
Can't he give crazy like his doctor's permission to tell people about, so like people can talk to his doctors? And then be like,
I would think so.
Yeah.
You'd have to.
But then you could give false information too.
Yeah. I mean, I would think that the Falcons probably did some of sending their own medical people out there to look at him or asking for physical results. I mean, I'm sure that there's got to be some process in here with NFL free agency to where just all these guys, not even Kirk Cousins, but all these guys, you have no idea what they're doing in their offseason, what they're dealing with that hasn't been disclosed. So I'm sure there's got to be some sort of, you know, trust negotiation that goes on where these guys have to share their medicals.
When we return, we continue to talk all things NFL, but also getting back into what Coach Mike Brown had to say on Saturday. And we had a couple calls earlier talking about expectations and should we take a step back as far as the Kings are concerned and what we should expect out of them. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.